Let's pray. Father, you lead us. Thank you. We ask, O Lord God, that you would give us humble, tender hearts, that we would follow you, O God, that we would be like sheep, hearing your voice and following you, O God. I pray this morning, Lord, as we open your word, that you would continue to teach us of your kingdom, not just teaching our heads, but shaping our hearts. That we would not just understand the ways of your kingdom, that we would embody them, that they would come forth from inside of us, O Lord God. Father, left to ourselves, we do not understand the kingdom, your kingdom. We think we do, and yet we distort it and twist it. And so I pray this morning, O Lord God, that all the ways in which we are in error, Father, in which we are misunderstanding you and your kingdom, I pray, O Lord God, that you would open our eyes and open our ears, that we would know you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. This morning, we are going to look at the last two parables of this chapter, of this section of teaching from Jesus here. It's going to be the seventh and eighth parable of this section. I won't have time, we don't have time to look at this chapter as a whole and the structure of this chapter. But just briefly comment that, remember, there are eight parables in this chapter, and the first four are spoken to the crowds, and the second four are spoken to the disciples. And a few times in the midst of this chapter, Jesus says why he speaks in parables, and there's two reasons. One is to continue to darken the hearts of those who are against Jesus. And the other reason, the same parable, has this also same purpose, to bring light to the hearts of his disciples and his followers. The same words have both effects. And so the parables are divided up into two different groups that he's speaking to. No coincidence. It's also after the first parable, there's a pause and an explanation. And right before the last parable, there's a pause with an explanation and a call. And in the very middle, between 4 and 5, there's another pause. And so it forms this structure of like these bookends, okay? Where you have we talk about this a lot on Wednesday nights. It's called a chiasm. It forms like a big X. Chi is the letter in Greek for X. And forms a big X, all right, with the first and last being similar in structure, kind of pointing you to saying, you know what, there's a lot of purpose here. Oftentimes draws you into the middle where they cross. In this case, the middle explanation, which we covered weeks ago here. But just, I call it all out to say that, look, this isn't just Matthew saying, let me tell you a few good stories, I have some ideas. No, there is such purpose and intentionality and such careful writing here by the Holy Spirit through Matthew here, that there is just such purpose here as God continues to teach us. His Word is so powerful and is so beautiful and is so intentional. This is not just an interesting book that some people threw together. There's purpose from Almighty God in it. And so this morning we will look at the final two parables of this section of teaching with eight parables. Please follow along as I read from Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is God's word. Jesus in these parables is again describing to us the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And boy, do we need this instruction. As we'll see at the end here, we, apart from the inbreaking power and illumination of the Holy Spirit and the working of salvation in our lives by God's grace, we cannot understand the kingdom. No matter how many lessons Jesus gives us, no matter how many times we sit through lectures or instruction, or how many times we read the Bible, we misunderstand God because of our sin. And often, in the midst of one of our sins of arrogance and pride, we think we understand God. We think we have Him figured out. And it's just the people around us who don't understand Him. So Jesus teaches and tells us in so many different ways, different aspects of the kingdom of God. This morning we're going to look at two more of those. So there's nothing new here. There is nothing new under the sun. First parable is the parable of the nets in verses 47 through 50. Now this parable is similar to the parable of the weeds, which was the second parable, right? So you have first and eighth parables, and then pauses as you come one, thinking like a bookshelf with bookends, and then you're coming in and in then, okay? The first and the last ones, and then there's a pause right before that. And now the second and seventh parables, though spoken to different audiences, have similar meanings. Part of the parallel structure of this passage here, as Matthew has woven it together by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The parable of the weeds, remember that a farmer went out and sowed some seed, and then in the night the enemy came and sowed some weeds, and the wheat grew up, and the weeds grew up in the midst of it, and the instruction there was, don't rip out the weeds now. At the final judgment, at the end of time, when the final judgment comes, then God will sort the good wheat away from the weeds, but for now it grows together. There's a similar message here with a slightly different focus. So he says in verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake. By the way, there's another parallel here. Okay, parables 2 through 7 all start this way. The kingdom of heaven is like. And parables 1 and 8 don't. They start a little differently. I really should have just structured time to do that whole thing more, because you can tell I really want to talk more about structure. But just some more keys here, the structure of this whole passage. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And not all the fish is good. But the fishermen don't take the time then and there while they're fishing to sort through the fish. Once they're up on shore and the fishing is done, the end of the day, that's when they sort the fish. Good fish and the bad fish. And Jesus interprets this parable for us, just like he interpreted the second parable for the disciples. He interprets this parable and says in verse 49, this is how it will be. Again, it's talking about the kingdom of heaven. At the end of the age, the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For now, in the church age, the time between Jesus' comings, in the midst of us, in the midst of God's kingdom, and all that God is doing, and all the work that God is about, there will be a mixture. There will be a mixture of righteousness and unrighteousness. As the kingdom of God grows, there will be those who are born again and those who are not. And God has not said in this time that He is going to bring about the judgment for the unrighteous. Now, a few points of focus here. He's not talking about the church. It's so easy to think that what he's talking about here is the church. And he seems like he's saying, oh, well, in the church, don't distinguish between believers and unbelievers. There's lots of other scripture. In fact, we'll see this. Matthew has some very powerful teaching on this in Matthew 18, for example, where we as the church are to be discerning. Not in order to say, you're going to hell and you're not going to hell. No. But in order to call Christians into the church, to membership, to deeper commitment into the church, that we are to be discerning. And when we call into leadership, that we are to be discerning. Absolutely. So it's not focusing here on the church. He's talking about His kingdom. If you remember, a lot of this type of teaching from these parables here, before that we saw John the Baptist misunderstanding the kingdom of heaven. What didn't he understand? He got Jesus' message of grace. He wasn't seeing the judgment occur right then. John the Baptist expects Jesus to say, look, everyone who's righteous, come with me, you're all set. The rest of you, bam, zap. And to bring judgment on all of them right then and there. So Jesus is teaching about the kingdom here to show that, look, that judgment that comes upon the wicked is not going to happen here and now. It's not going to happen until the end. That's His focus here. Also pointing out, who is the one who does the sorting at the end? It is the angels. It is not us. At final judgment, when Jesus returns, it won't be up to us to say, hey God, this guy is a bad guy. You got to get him. Man, this person here, you should see. God, let me tell you, what I got a list, God. I'll help you out here with the sorting process. I'm pretty good at this. I've been thinking about it a long time, who I think is in and who I think is out. We are not the ones who judge. That is for God. God determines. Now, we're also to take, if you are afflicted because of unrighteousness, if you are persecuted, misunderstood, suffer because of unrighteousness around you, because of wickedness around you, if it seems like the wicked get ahead and get by with everything, and you in your efforts to follow God feels like you keep going backwards, then be comforted. God knows. God sees. Unrighteousness in eternity will not go unpunished. Okay? So take comfort. Okay? We are also, if we are sitting comfortably and thinking, hey, everything's hunky-dory, everything's great, we also are to have pause here and say, not say with the wicked, oh, it looks like God's, yeah, sure, God's going to judge. Sure, God's coming again. Yeah, whatever. No big deal. No, that we are to, with fear and trembling, say, no, judgment does come. And we don't laugh at those who will be judged. We don't say, ha-ha. No. We weep and we mourn and we call and we exhort and we encourage and we proclaim the love of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ. Because judgment is real and is coming. Judgment belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God. I think it's one of the important applications for us from this passage here is that, look, we are going to live now in the midst of unrighteousness. Okay? And our response cannot be to want to pluck the bad fish out now and throw them away. It's first of all not our job. Secondly, not the time for it. I really think that for us as Christians, meaning that we are in the kingdom of God because of God's grace, that we must be humble. We must be gentle. And our outlook towards those around us, even the unrighteous, those who are not born again, to not take a holier-than-thou approach to that. To not be constantly looking for the bad fish to point it out and say, ha-ha! That doesn't mean we tolerate sin. It doesn't mean that at all. When we find, the parable is going to break down real fast here, but when we find a bad fish, may our heart's response not be one of pride, and I'm not like this one, thank you God that I'm not bad like this person, but be of humility and gentleness and love, not for their sin, but for their soul. That we would love them in Jesus' name. Now is not the time to separate. Now is not the time to judge the wicked, and it's not our job anyways. The parable of the net. Jesus pauses now, and he asks the disciples a question. In verse 51, it's very simple, and they actually give their only response here to a question in this section. He says, have you understood all these things? And they reply, yes. It's interesting. Now, it could just be maybe he's just being a good teacher, saying, okay, I've given you some teaching. I want to check in with you now. Have you understood it? Right? Louise was sharing this week about testing as a teacher, the way you do tests, right? The test isn't, you know, to try to squash the children. It's to see if they've gotten what you've done, what you've taught them, if they have understood. Joy, to see how you're doing, how you're tracking with them. It's feedback to see if... So maybe that's what Jesus is doing here. He's just saying, look, I've given you a lot of teaching. Are you following with me here? Your eyes are looking a little glassy. Are you following? Are you tracking with me here? And they say, yep, we're good. Keep going. We're good. As we'll see in a second in the last parable, I don't think that's what he's doing. But what is it he's asking them? Have you understood all these things? What's he referring to? Well, I think primarily he's talking not just about the parable of the net, but about all of the parables here, this whole section here. And through that, I would say all of his teaching, but specifically the parables in chapter 13 here. Do you understand? I'm teaching you. Do you understand what I'm teaching you? Because it's very important what I'm teaching you. And they reply, yes. Now, many folks have tried to, kind of commentators, and have tried to say, either yes at this point. They understood everything. Jesus said, have you understood all these things? They say yes, so they get everything. They fully understand. Or some have said, boy, they said yes, but boy, they were just fooling themselves. Really, they have no idea what he's talking about at all. They're just like, yeah, I understand, but they don't understand. I think the reality is probably somewhere in between. I think they did have understanding. Again, as we'll see in a minute in the last parable. And yet, of course, I don't believe they understood everything yet till the coming of the Holy Spirit. I don't think they fully understood all of what he was saying, but they did have understanding. They understand that Jesus has been teaching them that the nature of the kingdom of God is different than they thought. They had one understanding of God and God's kingdom, and Jesus is correcting that, is helping them to understand truth. Because they had a misconception of the kingdom of God. They're understanding in part that the kingdom of God doesn't happen all at once. It's not just going to come complete, bam, right away, all at once. They're understanding that the wicked aren't judged right away, but that they will eventually be judged. They're gaining understanding that the kingdom of God isn't just a part of their life, one section of their life that will come to accomplish what they really want, political independence, but that the kingdom of God is more precious than everything in their life combined. They're learning that the kingdom of God starts very small, but that it grows. These are the messages of the parables that Jesus has been teaching them, been revealing to them, that they had understood from their all they had been taught from the Old Testament, that it is true, but that they weren't fully understanding it all. And they couldn't until the coming of Jesus. And now, with His coming, He is explaining. He's not saying that the Old Testament was wrong. He's interpreting the New Testament in light of Himself. And they're gaining understanding that the kingdom of God is different than they thought. Have you understood all these things? Yes. We understand that the nature of the kingdom of God is different than we thought, Jesus. He then goes on to tell them this final parable of our section. In verse 52, He said to them, therefore. Now, come on. Come on. We can't skip over that. That's weird. Isn't that? I mean, let's just think. What's He referring to? Why is He saying therefore? What has just come before it? Oh, man. Good thing we're done with Matthew 13. Boy. Cowboy. Alright. Be okay. Ruin more Bibles when I preach. It was therefore, not tearfore. Very well done, Peter. Very well done. It's beautiful. It's excellent. That was excellent. The therefore is coming in response to what just occurred. Jesus said, do you understand? Have you understood? It's interesting. The way that the verbs really work there, it doesn't mean, have I spoken in you in your own intelligence and greatness, figured this stuff out? No. Have you understood is a very vague way, in a sense, it doesn't directly declare the means of their understanding. It's important, I think. We'll see in a second here. And they say yes. Have you understood? Yes. Therefore, let me tell you this parable. Therefore, the content of this parable is going to have something to do with your understanding the teachings of the kingdom. Okay? Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasure as well as old. And that last phrase there is a little bit tricky. It's really saying who brings out new treasure and old treasure. Okay? Just talking about both. It's not one over the other, though it says the new first. It's not one more important. It's not replacing one. New treasure and old treasure. What is he saying here? As he is describing the teacher of the law who has what? What has happened to this teacher of the law? Who has been, NIV is a little weak here, who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven, really means has become a follower of the kingdom of heaven, has become a disciple of Jesus, has become a Christian. So everyone, and he's focusing on scribe, of the law, who has become a Christian. Everyone who has become a Christian is like the owner of a house. And what does this owner of the house do? He brings out of his storeroom new treasures and old treasures. The storeroom is often portrayed as the place where your treasure is, the place where you store all your valuable things. But biblically, it's often talking about your heart, okay, what's coming forth from your heart. Right? This disciple, what are they like? What do? They bring out the precious things of God. They bring out the new and the old, and the light of all his teaching here. He's saying that the disciple brings out an understanding of the kingdom of God that is informed by Jesus' coming and Jesus' teaching as well as the Old Testament. So he's saying, have you understood these things? Yes, we've understood these things. You're my disciples and you understand these things? That's what disciples do. Now the order, I think, is important here too. The scribe of the law who has understood the teaching of the kingdom brings them out. First you are made a disciple, then you have understanding. Then you go and share that understanding. The disciples receive the teaching from Jesus, then he asks, do you understand? We don't sit and get taught and have our heads go, click, I get it, now I'm going to believe in Jesus. In order to understand the kingdom of God, we must first be converted. Apart from the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives to make us born again, we cannot understand the kingdom of God. You could teach the entire Bible for 80 years to a non-believer, and they will understand parts, yes, they will understand structures and how things fit together, how it's built together, and some of the message, but it won't convert them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God to make us disciples. Seeing isn't believing. Believing gives sight. Believing brings understanding. In order to understand and to know deeply God, we must first be born again. We must believe. And once we gain understanding, though, we're to bring it out. We're to share it. Yes, our sharing it won't convert. But just like Jesus taught, and through that process, the Holy Spirit worked to make his disciples believe, so God uses us now, bringing out from our own storehouses the understanding we've been given by God of who he is and of the Scriptures and of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are to go to the lost and the dying world, and we are to share the truths of God. And God, by His grace, may use that through His Holy Spirit to bring others into the kingdom also. We are not as disciples to say, hey, I've been born again, and I'm studying my Bible, and I'm seeing new things of Jesus, and I'm praying to Jesus, and I'm seeing Him, and I'm understanding new things of Him, and I'm growing in my love for Him, and I'm just going to lock the doors and close the shutters and keep it all to myself. No. We're to bring it out of the storehouse, bring it out of the storeroom, both our understanding in the light of Christ and our understanding of the Old Testament, the New Testament, Old Testament together, and go to the world and say, oh, there's a feast. Let me show you these precious jewels. So the parable of the treasure of the pearl of great price and the treasure that was found in the ground too, it's not part of those parables, but they're not then to take the treasure and go and hide it in their house, or take the pearl and go and hide it. Ha ha ha, my precious. Ha ha ha, you can't have it. We're to take that and go to the world and say, look at this kingdom. Look at this king. Look at this Savior. I commend Him to you, to a lost and dying world. We're to share what we have learned. And what we have learned is not because we're smart. It's not because we're better than anybody. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not because you're good. It's not because you follow the rules better than someone else. It's not because you got your act together. It's not because you resisted the temptations to fall away into other things better than someone else. It's grace. It's a free gift, purely of the love of God. And when we have received that free gift, we are to go to the world and say, look, look at this Savior. Look at this Jesus. He loves you and He calls you to Himself too. Where's your sorrow? Where's your pain? Where's your hurt? Where's your sin? Where's your rebellion against your Creator? He loves you. He's calling you to Himself. Parables of the kingdom of God. Seeing the nature of the kingdom, let us, whether you are a Christian, a new Christian, a mature Christian, a struggling Christian, seek God in Jesus. Whether you are a non-Christian, seek God in Jesus with all of your heart. Seek Him. And as we know Him, not waiting until we have it all figured out, not waiting until we understand everything, not waiting and saying, I don't know enough yet. If we're born again, we've been given understanding, and therefore, share Jesus. It's the shorthand way of saying, tell the world about the love and power and grace of Jesus. Seek God. Share Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace and for Your love. For any and all ways in which You have given us understanding because You've made us Your disciples. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. We love You and are so thankful for Your grace. Just unmerited favor. We ask, O Lord God, that You would use us in humility, that You would use us, O Lord God, to go into Your world and share the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation through faith in Him. Pray, O Lord God, that You would bring out from within us, our hearts, the preciousness and the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. That when we go about our week this week, God, we would tell others, share with others, that there is salvation through God's grace by faith in Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.